This parasha shiur is also dedicated by the Leitman family, or in honor of the Leitman family. I think I mentioned last week that Mr. Leitman, Zichrono Libracha, always tried to help out the yeshiva and try to help out Bruria. His daughter, Beth, was one of my first students, and we've maintained a connection, a healthy connection, I think, until today. So I'm happy that I have this opportunity to mention the fact that they have dedicated the shiur. Okay, look, Yitro is a problem. Like, he gets he gets prominence, right? The parasha of Matan Torah is called Yitro. That is enough to be annoying, I think. After all, we have all heard of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he certainly deserved the parasha. Not only that, even if you tell me, well, the parashas are not named in a significant way, it just happens to be the first word in the pasuk of the parasha that's significant. So the first word that comes, we call it like Bereishit Bara Elokim. We call the parasha Bereishit. Eilat Olas Noah. We call it Noah. But you know, if you look at the first pasuk, it's right here by Shema Yitro Kohen Binyan Choteid Moshe. So you see the word Yitro is the second word in the pasuk, right? And the word Moshe is the sixth word in the pasuk, the seventh word in the pasuk, right? So if you were like really interested, like a Hasidic word, you could have moved the words around so that it would be Vayishma Chotein Moshe. Vayishma Moshe. Or Moshe. Chotein Yitro, Kohen Midyan Shama. So you would be able to jiggle it around a little bit, so that you'd call the parsha of Matan Torah, you'd call it Moshe, which seems to me to be a reasonable thing. So that's a question that you could ask. Why did Yitro get such prominence? Now it's true that the pasuk says Vayishma Yitro, and Rashi says, Mashmu Ashamau Ba, what was it that Yitro heard? Kriyat Yamsuf and Milchemet Amalek. These are the things he heard. So now we know that Kriyat Yamsuf, and then also Kriyat Yamsuf, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Abdo, right? Kriyat Yamsuf, Milchemet Amalek, Vyadav Emunah, it says in the Pasuk. These are the two central actions that took place that caused Emunah, that produced Emunah. And so, Vayishma Yitro, Mashmo Shabba, Abbal Kriyat Yamsul, Luchemet Amalek, it means that he understood something. He didn't just hear about the frogs, or about the lice, or even about wild animals running around. He heard about Kriyat Yamsuf Milchemet Amalek. He heard, meaning he understood. Just as Bnei Yisrael understood that these were miracles that had to do with Emunah. Emunah that only God could take care of this problem. That somehow we understood that God was the creator of the universe. And as such, had dominion in that universe. And that was the point as the Ramban says at the end of the parasha of Bo, that was the point of Yitziat Mitzrayim, as far as the Jews were concerned. The point was to instill in them proper faith, the things that they had to have faith in order to be able to say, I have faith in God, and I can take the Torah. That's what the issue was. That was the issue was for the people. So the first pasuk, according to Rashi, says, Yitro, he was special. He got it. The Egyptians, they didn't get it. right? They kept chasing after the Jews. They wanted to kill them. It didn't matter. It didn't matter to them what had happened, even after Makat Bechorot. But Yitro, he got it. He said, Kriyat Yam Suf Milchevet Amalek, that means something. That means something. Then the word Yitro in Rashi. You remember this Rashi? Sheva Shemot Nikru'ulo Ru'u'el Yeter Yitro Chobav Chaveh Keni Putiel. And then Rashi goes on to explain. Yeter, which means excess, more than. Al Shem She Yiter Parsha Achat Batorah. He added a parsha in the Torah. He added a parsha in the Torah. And then Batatechezeh, that's how the parsha starts, Yitro, Lichishenitgayer, Vikiyeva mitzvot, Osifilo ot achat. Right? Nitgayer, Vikiyeva mitzvot, Osifilo ot achat. I could go through this whole Rashi, but it's not necessary, because what Rashi is saying is that Yitro had many faces. He was many people, and that's why he had different names. That's why to remind us of the fact that Yitro was a very complex personality. He was he had some involvement with the Torah, which is remarkable. And he was a convert to Judaism, etc. The pasuk goes on and says, "Kol asher asa Elokim leMoshe liYisrael amo ki hotzia shevet Yisrael b'Mitzrayim." Again, hotzia shevet Yisrael b'Mitzrayim. If you understand it properly, it's an indication of creation, that God created the world. Right, and because he created the world, he was able to get us out of Mitzrayim. Again, we spoke about it, but we said, right, Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim, Zecher Litziat. I'm sorry, we make Kiddush Friday night. We say Zecher Litziat Mitzrayim. What does Friday night have to do with Litziat Mitzrayim? What does Friday night have to do with announcing that God took us out of Mitzrayim? He says, well, because we want to say Zecher L'Maaseh Bereishit. That's what we really want to say on Shabbos. That's what Shabbos is. It's the memory of Bereishit. The memory of Bereishit. Shabbos. But we don't have a memory of Bereishit. Like, we weren't there. We weren't around when God created the world. But in Yitziat Mitzrayim, God indicated to us that he had dominion in the world. And that kind of dominion could only come through creation. That's the way it is understood. So that when we say that Yitro understood, what he understood was that there was only one God, and that one God created the world, and that the creation of the world implied dominion in some way over that world. We understand there's a machloket, or there are different opinions about Hashgacha Pratit. So we don't have to decide what Hashgacha Pratit is, but we know that there is some sort of Hashgacha Pratit that goes out all the time. And we don't know what form it takes, but we know that at least theoretically, God can do as God wills with the world. There are no limits. There are no limits. I mean, even though, right, in the parasha of Noah, God destroyed the world. Right? And he set it back. He set the world back to Tohu Vavohu. To Tohu Vavohu, because before the world was actually formed or created, it says Ruach Elokim Barachevet al Pnei Hamayim, right? There's a kind of water. Tohu Vavohu is something formless. Formless means is like underwater. Everything underwater is Tohu Vavohu. So God could obviously destroy the world, set it back to Tohu Vavohu, right? Set it back to Tohu Vavohu. Even though there's a there is sort of an agreement between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the world and Noach that kind of destruction will not take place. Nevertheless, it could happen. I mean, that's what Noach teaches us. It could happen. We don't know what the rules are, what the guidelines are. No, not you. Not you, her. You can sit on the other side. Do you mind?
If you want.
It's they're that cheaper seats. Thank you. Okay, so that's all the first pasuk. All of that. Then pasuk bet. Vaikachi et rochot et Moshe tzipora eshet Moshe achar shilucha. Chachom et shnei baneha asher shem echad gershom ki ama ger hayiti beres lochriya v'shem echad Eliezer ki Elohei avi v'azri v'yitzileinu v'cherem paro. So there's Yitro. He decides, because he is a great intellectual, and he understood everything that happened, and he was following the history of Bnei Yisrael as they left Mitzrayim, so he decided to join up. But more interestingly, perhaps, he decided to bring Tzipora and Moshe Rabbeinu's children with him. Now, we don't have the reason for that. I mean, you know, all parents like to see their children from time to time. Could it be that he understood that there was a kind of an aspect of an am, a nation, a community that was being formulated, and that Kabbalat HaTorah would be a family affair? It was certainly, the Torah itself says men and women, right? Men and women as experientially were part of Matan Torah. Maybe the children were as well, but the children are not mentioned specifically, but they were there. The children, and so whatever they could understand, they wouldn't be left out. But in any event, that's what he says. Pasuk hey. Vayavo Yitro Chotein Moshe Banav Yishto Moshe Lamidbar Shul Chonesh Sham Har Elohim. Vayavo Yitro. Again, Chotein Moshe. Right, he's called Chotein Moshe. The first time he's called Chotein Moshe, okay, it could be to remind us that he was the father-in-law. But now he's called Chotein Moshe. That's not the... We already were reminded. So why does the Torah tell us again that he was Chotein Moshe? He said that he felt a closeness. It felt like the Maharal would try to explain what the relationship between Yitro and Moshe was. There was a relationship. He was not only Chotein Moshe formally, some of you may have experienced that in their own lives, not only a formal in-law, but it was a real connection between Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayomer el Moshe. So after this, we had a long introduction about what Yitro is doing, why he's there, who he came with, what his status is, and who the woman and children he brought with him are. Vayomer el Moshe, ani chotencha Yitro bo alecha. Third time. Chotencha Yitro. You don't imagine? I mean, it's like that, probably not too common today that somebody's father-in-law introduces himself as, I'm the father-in-law. I mean, maybe to a third party, but not to the, well, maybe I'm not with it. There is something slipping by me, you know, I'm not noticing. Vayome el Moshe, ani chotencha Yitro b'aylecha v'yishtecha shtei b'neha ima. You know, he wants to say something. He says, you know, don't think that this was an accident, that they had nowhere to go, that they followed me out of the house, that they hitched a ride on my caravan. No, I came with them. I understand something, Yitro. So something I understand. I understand that they're necessary. I mean, what exactly he meant, I'm not sure. But certainly you have to admit that there's an emphasis here on the fact that he brought his Moshe's wife and children. Vayitze Moshe lekrat chotno, fourth time. Vayishtachu, vayishaklo, vayishalu, ish li'el l'shalom, vayavo ha'ola. Now we don't get it. Vayishalu l'shalom. You know, shalom is like a 50 millimeter word. It's like more than a word. It has a lot of meaning. It's the name of God. It's part of this notion of eschatology, that things can work out, that it can be as it should be. So here you have a non-Jew or a person who decided to convert, right? That's Yitro. And he is offering shalom. He's offering shalom to Moshe Rabbeinu, which means, right? You know, there's a machlokes in the Gemara about whether Yitro came before Matan Torah or came after Matan Torah. But the simple way of looking at it is that he came before Matan Torah. So that's the way it's told in the Chumash. I mean, of course, anything can mean anything, but let's assume that Yitro came before Matan Torah, right? In our reading of the Chumash, Vayomer Moshe ani chotencha Yitro ba'elecha v'ishtecha shtei banechem, pasuk zayin. Vayitze Moshe lekrat chotno, Moshe honoring Yitro. Right? Moshe saw that Yitro had something. There was something to him that was special. Right? It could be a sign of profound appreciation. It could also be, as we saw with Lavan and Betzuel, you know, sometimes the shikot are false. They don't represent a true feeling. But in this case, it would seem that it does. Vayishalu ish l'reel l'shalom, vayavo ha'ola. What does vayavo ha'ola mean? Well, we know that an ola is a special place. An ola is a special place. Sarah had an ohel. The avot had ohalim. An ola is a place in which where you can be yourself. You don't have to, you're not on guard, you're not fighting off the enemy, right? It's your space. So when Moshe Rabbeinu takes his father-in-law into his tent, I mean, it's not so much a question of doing it. Anybody can do it. You can say, oh yeah, come on in, come into my house. I mean, that doesn't mean anything. But if the Torah writes, Vayavo Ha'ohela, then what the Torah meant is that Moshe Rabbeinu, I mean, I don't mean to say that with any level of chutzpah, like I know what the Torah meant, but what it might mean is that Moshe Rabbeinu understood immediately that this man standing in front of him, who he knew already, he knew him because he married his daughter, and he lived with him. But right now, Moshe Rabbeinu says, you're with me. You're with me. You understood what happened. You gained faith. You came to be part of what's going on here in Sinai, and therefore, by Avoa, that's what it means. That's what it means. Again, pasuk. Leparo, pasuk tet is that no pasuk chet. Vayisaper Moshe lechotno et kol asher asa Hashem leparo v'lemitzrayim al odot Yisrael. So what's the pshat? He told him. He told Yitro what happened. Why did Yitro come? It says Vayishma Yitro. Yitro heard of all the highlights, but it's like you know, it's like this. If you follow sports, if you follow sports, Lahavdil, right? You follow sports. Let's say you follow, the only thing I can talk about is baseball. I have this handicap. And I can only talk about baseball up to about 1950. So let's say there's this really significant baseball game, and somebody won and somebody lost, and you know the highlights, right? So somebody comes along who was at the game and can tell you what the guy looked like when he struck out, or what the pitcher looked like when he pitched the strikeout. You're interested in it, right? You know what the end of the story is. But the details make sense. You want those details. You want to listen to it. This is true about anything, not just baseball games. So here is Yitro. Yitro comes and says, I know what happened. I know what it means. I know the implications. I'm with you 100%. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, come in, let me tell you the story as I saw it, as I heard it. Because if you understand, you'll understand even more when I tell you what we went through. And how it happened, and that's the. There's one more pasuk. Vayichad Yisro, Yitro. Vayichad. The word Vayichad. You have to look at the Rashi. Vayichad Yitro. You see the Rashi. It's four narrow lines from the 5 narrow lines from the bottom. 6 narrow lines. One Rashi says Vayismach Yitro. Chedva, happiness, pleasantness. He was happy. Zeu pshuto, Rashi says, which is Rashi's way of saying one interpretation. But there's another interpretation, which Rashi calls Medrasho. He gets it from the Medrash, probably. Naseberat b'saro chidudin chidudin meitzar al ibud Mitzrayim. He was kind of goose pimpled. And he was unhappy about the loss of life that the Mitzrim suffered. Haino dame inche giura adasara dare lotivaze armo'o ba'ape. He says, you shouldn't insult the Arameans to their face for 10 generations. They feel it. They feel what happens. So here's Rashi. Rashi says, what is Yitro? What is Yitro in spite of the fact that he understood, in spite of the fact that he came to be with Am Yisrael, in spite of the fact that he was a wondrous example of a theological master? Nevertheless, when he heard what happened to the Egyptians, when he heard the details, he couldn't help himself but feel like a little bit of a knetch. Like he was unhappy. He says, look, all these people are but we have that tradition also. Ma'aseh yadai tovim b'yam v'atem omrim shira, about the Jews, that when people die, it's a cause for reflection minimally. It's something that, you know, you hear about a tsunami, or you hear about what's happening in China. It's hard not to be somewhat sympathetic, right? Even if we reserve most of our energy, our sympathetic energy, for our own group, our own people, still, when you hear the numbers every day, so that's what happened with the Yitro. So the blemish, I don't know if it's a blemish. Maybe it's a schut. The only place where the Yitro armor weakens a little bit is in this word Vayichad, which could be understood as being pleasant or unpleasant, unhappy. So this is all an introduction to the presence of Yitro. And then there comes a story, and the story is Vayimi Mocharat. I mean, every word can be, I remember. I mean, I heard Rabbi Soloveitchik go through this parasha, right? Every word. He says, every word is a showstopper. You know, like, mimacharat. means there had to be clarity of some sort. It couldn't be whatever we were talking about today. There had to be a new day. And the new day was Vayeshe Moshe Lishmot et Ha'am. Moshe Rabbeinu sat down to judge the nation. This is one of the reasons that you might say that it was after Matan Torah. Because if judgment meant real judgment, so it meant Torah judgment. But, you know, okay, I wouldn't argue with anybody about that. So you have this interesting thing that we all know. You go to any kind of bureaucratic station, it's Miboker Ad Ha'erev. That's reasonable. That's how it's organized. Everybody's there all day long. Vayar Chotein Moshe again. Right? He was connected to Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew about Moshe Rabbeinu. He understood what was going on. And he says, Vayar Chotein Moshe et kol asher hu oseh la'am. Everything that Moshe Rabbeinu is doing for the good of the people. Vayomer. So why do you have it organized in such a messy way? Everybody's standing with you and unable to min ha'boker ad ha'erev. Vayar chotein Moshe את כל אשר עושה לעם, ויום ומה הדבר הזה שאתה עושה לעם, מדוע אתה יושב במדרך, וכל העם ניצב עליך בוקר עד ערב. בוקר עד ערב, that's an impossible amount of time. That's all day and all night. Right? All day and all night. ויום ומשה לחותנו, פסוק ט"ו 15, כי יבוא אלי העם לדרוש אלוקים, the people are coming, and this is that you have to understand these words are very well chosen by Moshe Rabbeinu. These people are coming to me to find out what God wants. Lidrosh Elohim. That's where they're coming. That's why they're coming. He doesn't say they're coming to find a psak or to find some way of agreeing about a property disagreement that they have. He says, Lidrosh Elohim. In other words, coming to my court is a religious experience. Either they don't have such important shilas. They don't have that, but they want to ask a shila. It's an event. It's an event. Going to a posek. Going to Moshe Rabbeinu. It's in Dovah Soredin, right? Going to Moshe Rabbeinu is tremendous as experiential. It's not, you should not make this into a common daily, everyday type of feature of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. Pasuk tet zayin ki yelam davar ba'ilai v'shafateti ben ishu ben re'eyu v'odati et chukei Elokim et torotav again. Odati et chukei Elokim. That's what I do. I'm the conduit between God and you and the people. I give them the Torah. I bring them the Torah. Vayom echotein Moshe nochamu. It's like his name. It's like another name that's not mentioned in Rashi in the beginning. Rashi talks like Yeter and Yitro and etc. But here he could call him also Chotein Moshe. Lo tova davar she'ata osei. He says the Gleichen Ponim Arayin. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was smart. He knew. He talked to God. He brought God's word. But Yitro looks at him and says, Lo tov. Lo tov is like... it's like the opposite of something well created. Right? Because everything in creation, right? Tov. Everything was Tov, or Tov Ma'od. But here, Lo Tov, he says. Adavar she'atah oseh. Lo Tov, that means very serious mistake. It's not like you made a mistake and it's going to take you longer to finish. But you made a very serious mistake. What was the serious mistake? Navolti bo gabata gama'am azeh she'imach. You're gonna just fade away. You're not gonna be able to physically keep it up. Ki kaved mincha davar lo tuchal asol levado. Ata shema bekoli. Yitro says, "Listen to me to what I say. Yatzcha, I will give you advice. Vayhi Elokim imach, and God will be with you. Aye, ata la'am mul ha'elokim ve'veita ata et advarim el ha'elokim. And you can present this idea to heaven, vizarta et hem et ha'chukim et ha'torot vodata lahem et ha'derech yelchuba ve'et ha'maseh asher yasun. So here's Yitro. He says, don't worry, you'll be able to give them the Torah, you'll be able to tell them what the halacha is, you'll be able to, just listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. So, ki pasuk tet zayin, ki yelem davar by lai, vishavatati ben ishu ben re. No, I'm sorry. I missed a few. Vizhartem kof aleph, vatatechazeh. Mikola Avan Shei Chayil. What is it? Techazeh? Techazeh is one of the words that's used for prophecy. It's that you will use your special qualities, Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Yitro talking. Ata techazeh. Mikol ha'am an shei chayil, yu'e elokim, an shei emet, so ne'batza. You're just, I mean, all of this, of course, is a pasuk in the Torah. You will do what the Torah wants you to do. You will appoint people who are worthy. V'samta alehem sarei alafim sarei meot sarei emet sonei batza. V'samta alehem sarei alafim sarei meot sarei chamishim v'sarei asarot pasuk kavbet. V'shavtu et ha'am b'kol eit v'haya kol adavar gadol yaviyu eilecha v'kol adavar katon yishputu heim. Rakel me'alecha v'nasu itach. He says you'll be able to do it. You'll be able to function. You won't fall away if you have assistants helping you, and you'll appoint them, right? Im et ha'davar hazeh pasuk kav gimel ta'aseh v'tzivcha Elokim v'yechol ta'amot v'gam kol ha'am hazeh al mikomo yavo b'shalom. Everything will be just wonderful. So the thing that bothered me about this story, always bothered me, and I think I've mentioned in the past, is that this does not seem to be what we would call an act of brilliance on the part of Yitro. I mean, everybody understands that if you open up if you're selling lemonade and you can't sell it fast enough for the people who want the lemonade, so you get another table with more lemonade and you get your little brother to also sell lemonade. I mean, this is not exactly rocket science. So what was it that prevented Moshe from doing this on his own, on the one hand? And also, what was it that was such a big deal? I mean, if Moshe Rabbeinu wants to do it on his own, he'll do it on his own. I mean, like what's the nekudah nifla'ah here, as the Rambam called it? What is it we're supposed to understand from this story about Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu? So I think it's rather obvious. And that there's a conversation that's taking place between Yitro and Moshe Rabbeinu. Yitro says, what are you doing? You can't do this. You're going to fall apart. You'll die. And it'll be the end. Everything will come to an end. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have no choice. All the people want to hear God's solution to their problem. And the only way they can hear God's solution to their problem is if they come to me and I speak to God and I get the solution. I mean, they all know that. They all know that Moshe Rabbeinu's psak is God's will. And that's what they want. They want that Moshe Rabbeinu's psak is God's will. So Yitro said, look, if you keep doing this, you keep answering all the shilas, if you keep on saying that only you know the answer to the question, you'll die. And the entire experiment of Am Yisrael and the Torah will be gone. Will be finished. And since HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants this experiment to go on and to be real, since God wants it to go on and to be real, there must be another way. there must be a way to appoint associates who are able to perform as you perform, who are able to give the people God's response to the Shaila. And you know, you should know this. The Gemara says, the Gemara about Zara, that we're learning, sort of. The Gemara about Zara says that the Sanhedrin Agdola, right, the highest court in the land, could only function if it was in the Lishkat HaGazit. Lishkat HaGazit, why Lishkat HaGazit? Because Lishkat HaGazit is close to the Shekhinah. It's close to the Shekhinah. That's what the Gemara says. And therefore, for example, capital cases could only be solved in the Sanhedrin HaGdolah. Now it happens that capital cases could also be solved, brought to the highest court in the Shevet, in the tribe, the tribal area, right? Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, right? They could also be brought to them, but only when the Sanhedrin HaGdolah is sitting in the Lishkat HaGazit. When the Sanhedrin HaGdolah was exiled from the Lishkat HaGazit, there were no capital cases that were done in the Beit HaMikdash in Lishkat HaGazit, and no capital cases were done in the highest courts in the various tribes. Why is that? Why is that? So the Gemara says, because the Gemara says that you had to have closeness to the Shekhinah. You had to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to judge those cases. What does that mean? Why do you have to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because, look, if Reuven, two witnesses come and say Reuven killed Shimon, so the Torah says, you got it. Two witnesses, that's, what do you call that? A flush? A full house? Or something like that? That's it. There's nothing better than two witnesses. But you know, two witnesses don't necessarily have to tell the truth. And even if they tell the truth, or they think they're telling the truth, they may be mistaken. It is, you never can get to a point where mathematically or geographically you get to 100% knowledge about what happened yesterday. And if, you have only to read historians of the modern era today. We call them newspapers, right? You want to read a newspaper about what happened yesterday? Well, this newspaper says this, and that newspaper says that, and the newspaper says something else. That's yesterday. Yesterday to today. And now, in 50 years, when some doctoral student in the University of Be'er Sheva is going to write a doctoral dissertation about yesterday, so he's going to read the newspapers. And the newspapers will tell him different things about yesterday. And then he'll have to say, well, you know, I think this newspaper is better than that newspaper, and this idea is better than that idea. Like, you sort of never know. You never know. It's a real problem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yitro, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I want, the Jews deserve the truth. They deserve the truth. The truth is available to me, but not available to anybody else. Yitro said, you better make it available to everybody, to others as well. You better establish judges who are able to decide what God wants, because only in that way will the Jewish people continue to exist. That's what Yitro's argument was. And that argument was accepted by Moshe Rabbeinu, which means that the argument was accepted by heaven. The argument was accepted by heaven, which means that if you wanted to know, you want to say, like, what is it that, how come Judaism works? How come it keeps going? Again, we're all here, Jews. Like, you know, what is the force that keeps us together? So you could say it's the psak that seems to exist for every generation. Right? Determination. There are determinations made that we all can accept. Right? Now, do I know exactly how it happened that Matan Torah said things about Hilchot Shabbat, that about electricity? Matan Torah, there probably wasn't too much electricity around. Probably not. But I have confidence. I have confidence that Post can tell me that I shouldn't turn the lights on and off on Shabbos, so I don't turn the lights on and off on Shabbos. It was, I assume, as far as I can, as far as I am able, that I've gotten the correct idea, that somehow that idea has, and that's because of Yitro. That's because of Yitro. So if I would say, Moshe Rabbeinu, he did Matan Torah. He did it. But who ensured that the Torah would continue to live and breathe and be the great influence on the Jewish people that it has been? So one could argue that that was Yitro. Yitro did it. So there's something about Yitro. There's something else about Yitro that I'd like to point to, and that is on the second part of the page. Interestingly enough, Yitro, for all his understanding and all his, you see at the top, is they're psukim from Bamidbar. Vayomer Moshe lechovav ben Reuel, you know, Rashi says, Chovav hu Yitro. Hu Yitro? Lechovav ben Reuel hamidyani chotein Moshe nachamu. Nosim anachnu el ha-makom ha-shamah Hashem oto etein lachem l'cha itanu ve'tavnu lach. There was some kind of a question. Obviously, he came to the camp of Israel. He was part. He brought his daughter. He brought her sons. So you would think it would be obvious that Yitro was going with them wherever they were going to. But from the pasuk, it's clear that this was in contention. And so Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yitro, he says, Nosim anachnu, we're going to travel to the place that God told us to go to, Veitavnu lach. He says, come with us, Veitavnu lach, and we'll do good for you. Ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael. Ki Hashem diber tov, so we'll all get good, something good. We'll go to Eretz Yisrael, we'll get good stuff. And you'll also get. That's what Rashi. That's what the Moshe Rabbeinu says to Yitro. Vayomer lav, lo elech, kim el atziv el moladeti elech. Nu. That's sort of like a surprise. Here's Yitro, the great understander, the person who kept the Torah going, the person who created Am Yisrael. But you could go on and on about Yitro. He said, vayomer lav, lo elech. I'm going home. Artzi moladeti. Right, those are words that we know. But when it came to Avraham Avinu, he left Artzi umoladeti. That was part of being Jewish. And here's Yitro, who went through Giyur and they had these ideas and understood the theology. And he says, El Artzi umoladeti, I'm still stuck in Midian. Right, I haven't left Midian yet. Vayomer al na ta'azov otanu ki al ken yedata chanoteinu bamidbar vayita lanu la'einayim. I have no idea what that means, Rashi. Ki al ken yedata chanoteinu bamidbar. You see the Rashi? Pasuk lamid aleph in the Rashi. Ki na'elecha la'sot zot al asher yedata chanoteinu bamidbar. He says, after all, you know about us. That's what Rashi says. You know about us. We went here and we went there, and so you know that. You know all of that. So why not come with us? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu says to. He said, we've discussed this at length. We've had the theological discussions late into the night. Why are you leaving? You're with us. Right? Vayisu mehar Hashem derech shloshet yamim v'arom brit Hashem nosev lefneihem derech shloshet yamim v'tu lehem menucha v'anan Hashem aleihem yomam v'nasam min ha-machaneh. Okay, let's look at the last source. And we're not going to be able to finish everything, but we'll get to the last. The Pasuk in Shoftim. Shoftim, this is the second book of Nevi'im, Yoshua Shoftim. Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tet Zayin, Uvnei Keni, Chotein Moshe. They also, Keni was also had something to do with Yitro. Alu Mi'ir HaTmarim. They came up from Yericho, which is called Irat Tmarim. There are a lot of Tmarim trees growing there. Et b'nei Yehuda, midbar Yehuda, asher b'negev arad, v'yelech v'yeshev et ha'am. We'll see from Rashi what this all means. And the people Keni, the b'nei Keni, they left. So what does Rashi say? Irat Tmarim. Irat Tmarim, Rashi. He Yericho. Shenitan lahem dushna shal Yericho. Dushna shal Yericho means a certain area around Yericho, which is very good land, able to use the land properly. Lo'ochla ad sheyivane beit hamikdash. In other words, it was given to them. It was given to the Yitroites, the family of Yitro. Was given Dushna Shel Yericho, and they would keep it, L'Ochla, they would use it and get profit from it, Ad She'ibaneh Beit HaMikdash. Now, how long did it take the Jews to build the Beit HaMikdash after they came to Eretz Canaan? How long did it take it? It took them 440 years. 440 years they were. Until there was the whole period of the Shoftim, then Shaul HaMelech, David HaMelech, Shlomo HaMelech, right? All of that period of time passed until they could build the Beit HaMikdash. So we're saying that the children of Yitro were living in Dushna Shel Yericho for the 440 years. Umishi Banet Beit HaBechira B'chelko Yitlena. So when they built the Beit HaMikdash, they built the Beit HaMikdash on a piece of land. That piece of land was partially in the land given to the tribe of Yehuda, that's Yerushalayim, right, half of Yerushalayim, and partially in the land given to Binyamin, which is like a little blurb on top of Yehuda, right? Yehuda is very big, Binyamin is very small. Here's Yerushalayim. I don't know if I'm getting it right. Here's Yerushalayim. See, below Yerushalayim is Yehuda. Above Yerushalayim is Binyamin. The Beit HaMikdash was built on a platform, partially in Yehuda, mostly in Yehuda, and partially in Binyamin. So that platform on which the Beit HaMikdash was built became the property of B'nai Yisrael. All the tribes own that piece. So that means that Yehuda was now missing. He gave up land for the Beit HaMikdash. So he's going to be compensated. He, Yehuda, is going to be compensated with Dushna Shel Yericho. It was held in escrow. Can you hold land in escrow? I guess you can. It was held in escrow 440 years. So for 440 years, Yitro's family lived on that plot of land and used it, right? So then he says, Rashi says, Beit HaBechira v'netanu alevnei Yitro, Taf Mem Shana, Taf 2 is 440 years. And afterwards, after the 440 years, the ones amongst them in the family of Yitro who were scholars went to study with Atniel ben Kenaz, who we know as a as a shofet, but he's had another name, Yavetz, Bemidbar Yehuda, Asher Benegev, Arad Lilmot Torah. So now we can understand the discussion with in Bamidbar, Berek Yud, the discussion with Yitro. Yitro came and said to Moshe Rabbeinu, like I don't understand, he says, I'm with you. But I understand that to be really with you, you have to have an inheritance in Eretz Canaan. You have to have part of the land. That's the deal. Eretz Canaan is not a monetary prize for the people who left Mitzrayim. It's not like you left Mitzrayim, okay, we'll give you a coupon to go to a fancy shopping center. No. The way you are to be a nation is that you will be part owners. You'll be part owners of Eretz Canaan. But Yitro, that was only true for those who left Mitzrayim. Yitro didn't leave Mitzrayim. So he didn't get the benefit. He didn't get the benefit of being part of the land. He couldn't get inheritance in the land. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to him, okay, we can't give you the inheritance, but we'll give you Dushno Shel Yericho. There's one place in Eretz Yisrael, where you can be part of, for at least for 440 years. Okay, after the 440 years, Rashi says, they all went to learn Torah. They went to learn Torah and with Otniel ben Kenaz and Kiat Sefer and then that Otniel ben Kenaz was also known as Yavetz, right? And he was the great Torah teacher of his day. So you say, you can't help saying, so there you are, Yitro. You're the Torah giver, in a manner of speaking, as we said before, and your children will become entranced by the idea of studying Torah after 440 years of being part of Am Yisrael in the land of Canaan, or the land of Eretz Yisrael. And what did Yitro do? We don't know. But it sounds like he could not bear the fact that he would be declassified. He wouldn't be a first-class member of the Jewish people, but he would have to suffer the indignity of not being part of the land, not having a section of the land. Which leaves us to explain, of course, why it was so important to be part of the land of Israel, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham Avinu that his children would definitely have the land. And Avraham Avinu didn't believe Bama'i Edaki Hirashena. Avraham Avinu didn't believe about that. He believed, he didn't argue that there would be many progeny in Am Yisrael, there'd be children galore. But he could not understand that he had doubts about the land. How could we get the land? What happens if my children sin and you drive them out of the land? So that's where we also spoke about that. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham Avinu that if you just say the parasha of Mitzvot HaTlut Ba'aretz, you'll be recounted as tshuva, as doing tshuva. Okay, so that's Yitro. Have a good Shabbos.